Welcome to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, recovery coach professional. Do you love food, alcohol, drugs, sex, social media, cigarettes, or gambling a little too much? The traditional narrative says that addiction to these vices is the problem. The truth is, they are just symptoms. This hit show takes you from recovery to your ultimate life as my special guests and I help you discover how underneath every vice is the addiction to the suffering that developed due to unhealed trauma. So what can you do? Hungry for Answers provides groundbreaking, proven solutions from my best-selling spiritual book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. It's time to stop suffering and start living your ultimate life. You have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. Hungry for Answers starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare. Today, I have a very special guest, Carrie Schwer, who is the founder of Grey Tonic. And what was interesting about talking to Carrie at the beginning was I had no idea there was even a concept called gray drinking. And when I saw that, and I'm like, oh, I want to know more about that. And then Carrie and I, we had a wonderful conversation, and here she is going to be on the show. And I'm really excited about this because I think that gray drinking affects so many people. You're not even sure what it is. You're not even sure if you're drinking too much and whether you have a problem or not. And it doesn't stop you from living your life. It's just that you're using alcohol maybe a little bit more than you should. So everybody, let's welcome Carrie to the show. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you so much, Robin. Great to be here with all of you today.
Yes, that's awesome. So the first question I always ask all my guests is, have you ever been so hungry for answers in your life that you absolutely did not know where the answers would come from?
Oh my gosh. I think that's a weekly thing. I really do. I think we gotta, you know, we have these moments where we have to dive really deep. And sometimes that can feel excruciatingly painful at times. But if we're quiet and we pay attention, that intuition, that inner voice is speaking to us. And if we just can listen to it and find it, we'll find the answers.
Yeah, sure. Great. So do you have a recovery story? Since this is a podcast about recovery.
Absolutely. So my story began, oh gosh, well, with drinking. Drinking was my story pretty much, but it started actually before that, to be honest with you. When I was 7 years old, I remember sitting on my parents' driveway on a hot summer day in St. Louis. And if you're familiar with the Midwest summers, they're unbearably hot. And I remember thinking, really, this is it? Like, this is all there is to life, is sitting in this hot weather and just no friends around. And the only time I ever felt fulfilled or happy is when we were on vacation with my family, which was very few and far between. My parents were very much estranged at that time and headed for divorce. And so it was, you know, life was tough. And I just remember thinking, if this is all there is to living, I don't even know if I want to be here. And then I remember thinking, I'm seven. I shouldn't be having these thoughts at seven.
Right.
But I did. So that sentiment, unfortunately, stayed with me most of my adult life. And then when I got to my 30s, I started experiencing panic attacks. And I was seeing a counselor, and I thought there was something so wrong with me because I was just going through the traumatic experiences that I had endured over the course of my life up to that point, reliving it, not understanding what they were. And I thought there was something wrong with me because I was letting that inner voice, that inner critic, guide my direction. And what I was believing was my reality. It was showing up as my reality, but I didn't understand any of that. So of course, at that time, I was working as a food and beverage manager at a country club. And part of my role was to be the main purchaser of the wines for the club. And because this was a prestigious country club, you know, there was the whole ambiance behind it, like, oh, look at me, how fancy I am that I get to try all these wines and, oh, look at me go. And that's when my love of wine really became more of an obsession. And I found myself drinking, not only to deal with the stress of the 70-hour work week, but also just feeding this really big self-worth issue that I was having and not having any self-love. And I was using that as a way to escape some of the things I was feeling inside, like most people, right? This is why we reach for things. This is we're avoiding the pain. We're avoiding the feeling of not feeling good. Mm-hmm. And that wine obsession became a nightly thing. And then it started progressing a little over time. And my husband started making some comments like, I think you're drinking a little too much. Now, his mom actually is no longer with us, but she was an alcoholic and she died from abusing pain medication. So she was an addict in every way and he saw what it did to her. So of course, now he's watching his wife drink every night and he's become very concerned and brought it to my attention. And he didn't need to, Robin. I already had the inner voices already speaking to me. The questions like, you might be drinking too much and how much is too much and could I be an alcoholic and what does this look like? And oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm a professional. I can't let anybody know. So all these voices were going through my head. And finally I came to my enough. And I think we all have our enough. It doesn't have to be a rock bottom. I never lived under a bridge. It doesn't have to be this big audacious thing. It could mean that in my case, was having a conversation with my son that a mother should never say to their child. And it was devastating to hear my words thrown back to me the next day. That was my enough. That's what I needed. So that began the change of not only working on my relationship with alcohol, but it really plummeted me into, more importantly, my relationship with myself.
Yes.
And that's mm-hmm. The big arching view of it.
Yeah. And when I was on your website and I was reading your story, I copied something down that I thought I really wanted to, this quote from you, which was, I had no rock bottom or any life altering changes. The truth was I was living a double life between normalcy and gray area drinking. So I'm going to get to the gray area drinking. But one of the things that I discovered in writing Feast and Famine is that most people don't have a rock bottom that they're aware of. Rock bottom can last for years. Mm-hmm. You're just walking at the bottom of the barrel, right? And you're just living in that dysfunction. Now, some people have a significant rock bottom. Like for me, I could see that the last time I purged that I could die from this. Like my body was showing me all the things that could go wrong from this. So I knew that I was truly at rock bottom. But really, I think it's important for our listeners to know that you may not have a rock bottom. You may be just living in rock bottom. So I wanted to begin the conversation on gray drinking. So can you share with our audience, what is gray drinking?
Yeah, so gray area drinking is a term that started about 2011. The NIH had done a study on it, and that's when the term first came to be. And then it became more popular over the course of time. As a matter of fact, since I've been in business, which is 3 years, I've seen an immense uptick on that term being used. Mm-hmm. And the Wall Street Journal just this week published an article about how the sober curious movement is really going after gray area drinkers. So gray area drinking is this wide spectrum of drinkers. It's in between socially drinking or a light, moderate drinker to severely abusing, and this wide space in between. The term alcoholism is actually starting to go away a little bit. They've replaced that term with alcohol abuse disorder. With alcohol abuse disorder, we have 3 categories: mild, medium, and severe. So a gray area drinker would easily fall into that mild and medium category of alcohol abuse disorder. The difference with gray area drinkers is it is a choice to drink. So it is a choice to drink, and it's not that you are physically dependent on alcohol. Are you psychologically? Absolutely. Listen, all habits have formed in our brain. It's become a habitualized loop in our brain, which is what caused habits in the first place. And they can become negative habits like over-drinking or overeating or binge drinking or purging or, you know, whatever the self-sabotaging behavior is. This happens over a period of time. But with the gray area drinkers, it truly is a choice. So if somebody decides that, you know, I want to cut back on my drinking, and they find that they can do it successfully for a period of time, but they end up going back, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have this severe abusive relationship. It means that they haven't quite yet figured out what is causing the drinking behavior in the first place. And that's the work that I get to do with my clients, is really helping them understand what is that drive, what is that pull, and understanding how their brain is being wired and what their triggers are and what their patterns are. Once they start to recognize some of those patterns and we can interrupt those patterns, that's when they start to make progress. So it doesn't have to be this physical dependency, although we can confuse that sometimes.
Yeah, I think we can, because I think that, you know, there's not only just physical addiction, there's emotional addiction and spiritual addiction. And so we know, those of us who work within the holistic arts, which you do, based on everything I've studied about your work, we have to look at and see that the person is mind, body, spirit, and emotion, right? And so gray drinking may not have the same gray area drinking may not have the same physical attachment that someone who has alcohol abuse disorder, but there are a lot of other things going on for them as to the reason why they're needing to drink, let's say on a daily basis, at night, after work, or during the day. So we're going to be heading towards the break soon. And when we get back, we're going to talk about how much is too much drinking, and can you be successful and drink too much? All of that kind of good stuff. And what does gray area drinking mean for intimacy? And how does the media influence us? So we're going to come right back in a minute to Hungry for Answers. That's what you're listening to. And this is Robin Clare, and we'll be right back.
Time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth, and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Clare, Clare-ITY.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Feeling stuck? Journey into a new exciting reality today. Join Coach Christine Clark as she helps you forge the life you desire. Through processes that shape, hone, refine, elasticize, and transform you, go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Tune into the show, Forging a Life, live every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
And welcome back to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare. To learn more about my work, please go to clarity.com. That's clarity.com. And I'm here with Carrie Schwer, founder of Great Tonic. And Carrie, how can folks reach you?
Oh, they can find me on my website at greattonic.com. I'm also pretty present on LinkedIn. That's my social media of choice. I love LinkedIn. So you can find me there or on Instagram at @great_tonic.
That's great. That's great. So we're going to continue with the conversation on gray area drinking, that middle section between social drinking and alcohol abuse disorder. And so, Carrie, how does one know if they're drinking too much?
As soon as you have those questions pop up for you, the intuition questions, as I alluded to before the break, really pay attention to that. It's only a problem when it becomes a problem. And as soon as there starts to have any negative effects in your life whatsoever, I mean, it could be something as slight as weight gain. It doesn't have to be this big monumentous type event. Like I said, it could mean maybe you're waking up and not feeling as strong as you could be. Maybe you're not as clear as you could be at work, perhaps. Maybe your attitude is a little negative towards other people or to your kids, or maybe your reactionary time to things isn't as what it should be or as good as it used to be. Just pay attention. And if you start to notice, and if you start asking yourself those inner questions, like, am I drinking too much? Could I be an alcoholic? And you're trying all the things. What I mean by that is, you know, making those little bets with yourself, like, okay, I'm just going to drink on the weekend. I'm only going to have one, maybe two, and you end up having more. Mm-hmm. When those things are starting to happen, it's a really good time to start paying attention. And, you know, to ease the minds of a lot of people, my guesstimation is about 50% of the population that consumes alcohol may be in this gray area. So it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. And while I was listening to you, I'm thinking, so is there gray area eating?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there gray area smoking pot? Is there gray area watching Netflix too much? Right. So, you know, for those who are thinking, well, I don't drink, you know, I invite you to listen to this conversation with perhaps the vice or habit that has become too much a part of your life at this time. Would you agree?
Yes. And I'll take that a step further. So my coaching practice is really all about the gray areas in general. And this can mean, you know, staying in a toxic relationship or with a spouse that you're pretty much just roommates. And that's about it. That's a gray area in a relationship. A gray area with yourself could be that you are having all this negativity. Perhaps there is no, you know, negative self-sabotaging behavior that you're using, but you're also beating yourself up continuously. That could be a gray area. You could have a gray area with your work that you are handcuffed to your job, but yet you don't want to leave because the money's too good and the benefits are too good, but yet you're, you know, miserable. That's not the place to be either. So whenever you're in this in-between space where it's not that bad, but it's not that good either. I keep going back to my 7-year-old self going, really, is this all there is? I mean, was my life horrible at 7? No. Was it great? No, it just was. And that was really the beginning of my gray area life. So gray areas can show up in many ways. And most of my clients, you know, yeah, they might drink a little too much, but perhaps some of them aren't seeing me or aren't working with me because of drinking. It's because of a relationship that they're in, or they want to advance at work and they can't quite get there because they're feeling so stuck, or they want to try something new and they don't have the confidence to get there. So this could be anything in the gray area.
That's great. And so I think you just hit on this, but I want to ask it anyway. Can you be successful on the outside but feel miserable on the inside?
That was my life for years. I'm telling you, people looked at me, Robin, and they were like, wow, she's got it all together. And, you know, I had these successful jobs. I carried myself well. Still like to think I do, you know, live in a nice neighborhood, drive a nice car, been married for 32 years, have two great kids. Wow. She looks like she's got it all together. Yes. And yet just 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I wasn't feeling that way at all. I felt like I was the biggest imposter. I was faking it better than most people. And I just really carried myself and I kept it all inside. And by the way, that is what led me to a lot of my drinking and some other self-sabotaging behaviors, because I didn't want to speak out. I didn't want to let anybody know what was going on inside. And when we do that, when we do that to our nervous system and we take on all this emotion and we're not allowed to express it, this is when we start to get sick. This is when we start to have so much stress on our bodies that that manifests in other areas of our life, in all those areas that I just mentioned. So it doesn't always present itself as like, oh, she's drinking too much or he's drinking too much. It could show up and present in the way of like stress and overwhelm, but it really has to do with how we're feeling about ourselves and taking in all of this stuff that we've been carrying around with us for a long, long time. My case, it was trauma as a child and the things that I experienced and going to 12 different schools and being teased and being beaten up and all the things that happened in my past. I just buried that in my nervous system for years.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about what Carrie said, that if you don't deal with the stress and the anxiety and what you're feeling inside, the trauma patterns inside, the suffering, it can manifest as illness going forward. And as an energy healer, this is how it works. We have an energetic field that is part of our soul's energy and part of the universal energy. And all of this stuff, like, you know, frustration, anxiety, disappointment, trauma patterns, old hurts, they all live in our energetic field as different parts of ourselves, different experiences. And if we don't heal them, they can create what's called dis-ease in the energetic field. And if you don't heal the dis-ease in your energetic field, then it can transmute to disease in the physical body. And this is why the healing of your trauma patterns is so incredibly important. And so when those things, when you're doing things to your body and your mind and your spirit and your emotions that are not healthy for you, most likely it's parts of your trauma pattern that are trying to get your attention to do the healing. But you're saying, I think instead of thinking about this or going for therapy or getting a life coach, I'll just drink. Now, you may not be saying that consciously, or I'll just eat too much. I need a hug. I'll have a candy bar, right? We do things that prevent us from taking a look at all of the trauma that has happened in our childhood, our teenage years, and our adult years. But as someone who lives and examines life, Carrie and I both, we know that it's the healing of these trauma patterns that will make us be able to live the joyous life that we're entitled to going forward. So, can Carrie, gray drinking or gray anything, any fill in the vice, be a substitute for missing intimacy?
Oh, absolutely. That's the other thing too, is, you know, it's perfect timing to say this today, because one of my social media posts today was about sex, about sex and stress, and that good good sex, meaning intimate with a consensual partner, and that you're in a committed relationship, can be one of the best ways to relieve that stress. But it also, if we are in this gray area with a partner and we aren't feeling fulfilled, we're bringing a lot of what happens, Robin, is all this baggage that we have from our nervous system and the trauma that I mentioned and things. Listen, we've all experienced trauma in our life, whether it's little T trauma or big T trauma, we've all have something that we're bringing to a relationship. And that absolutely can cause a lot of problems with intimacy because, again, we're not seeing how we need to connect with one another. We think energetically, you talked about energy and you know, I love energy work too, that unless we're able to connect with that other human being that's in front of us in an energetically way that is compatible for both of them, where you're actually seeing each other for who they are, it's going to be misaligned. It's going to be misaligned, and there's going to be more stress in the relationship. So I think that has a lot to do with how we're showing up. If we've healed ourselves, if we've taken the time to do that self-development work for us to get whole and healthy, so we can be that to our partner. And if there are some things that are going on with that relationship, it is time to look inward, not look at your partner to fix everything. Yeah. It's, you know, a partnership is 100%, 100%. It's not 50-50. And I think that we forget that.
Yeah. And also, you know, everyone, when some people mirror to us what we're feeling inside. So mm-hmm. I always say the first thing you should do is say, wow, what am I feeling? And what am I focusing on that I'm seeing this mirror to me? But I also want to add, when you talked about doing the energy work with someone face-to-face, looking at them, you don't actually have to be face-to-face with them if you don't want to or can't, because you may have energy work that needs to be done with a deceased parent or something. You just have to have a conversation with their soul. Like, put them in it, take two chairs, face them together, and place that person in the chair and have the conversation with them there. They'll hear you on the soul level. And that's where you can share forgiveness back and forth with each other. And I did that process in India at the Oneness University with like 1,000 people. We each had a chair in front of us and we're talking to the beings, the people in our life, both alive and deceased, who we had to go through the forgiveness process with. It was very powerful. So we're heading to a break, and you're listening to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, and we'll be right back.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio, as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Are you tired of waking up and starting your day already feeling overwhelmed and anxious? Join me, Laura Goldstein, for Coffee with the Universe, where we talk how to start the day feeling calm, collected, and confident instead. Tune in every third Tuesday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit www.cwtu.net for show details.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune in to And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
And welcome back to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare. And so I'd like to just give away a copy of Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. And if you would like to receive that, please call the studio at 1-800-930-2819. And again, that's 1-800-930-2819. And so I'm here with Carrie Schwer from GreyTonic.com. And Carrie, I think that you have a free discovery call for folks on your website. Is that correct?
I do. I offer a free discovery call, and it's a great way just to hear somebody out. It's a zero pressure call. It's really about how I can serve. And if we're a good fit, great. And if we're not, I'm going to still serve you and give you some recommendations.
Yes, me too. I have that too on clarity.com. And I love those calls because
me too.
I always seem to give the person exactly what they needed to hear, you know, for the time that we have. And you're right. If it's not a good fit, don't worry about it on my end either. As long as I can help you, you know, make that phone call and I'll direct you to wherever you need to go. So Carrie, back to the questions. So we're talking about gray area drinking, which is that place between social drinking and alcohol abuse disorder. So how does the media influence gray drinking? Because actually I know the answer to that because it drives me crazy when I can't watch any TV show with people not drinking because they feel good or drinking because they feel bad. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about this, the way that the media influences people for gray drinking?
Oh, it's everywhere. You can't escape it. Like it's, like you said, it's in movies, it's on TV shows, it's everywhere. Matter of fact, there was a, was it a reel I just saw the other day? It was literally of a child who was in diapers. So he was less than two. And he was like, Daddy, do you want me to get you another beer? And it was showing the kid getting a beer out of the refrigerator. I'm thinking you have no idea what you're telling your child and training your child, because as we know, before the age of five, everything that they're learning, they're absorbing as truth for them. And this is what his belief is going to be, that beer and drinking is just what you do, right?
Or beer and drinking is about getting dad's attention and feeling and getting love from my father and appreciation.
Yes, it's all of those things. And, you know, I really have to say that a lot of even the Super Bowl commercials, you know, it's always been heavy, heavy, heavy on alcohol consumption, as well as, like I said, movies and other TV shows like The Real Housewives, whatever. I don't really watch TV much anymore, but I know that it still exists. I will say, however, that the non-alcoholic brands are really starting to come out of the woodwork. We have more options now as a non-drinker than we've ever had, which is just wonderful. And speaking of the Super Bowl, last year they aired for the very first time a non-alcoholic beer on the Super Bowl. It was one of the commercials, and I was over the moon about it because this is exactly where we need to go. Listen, this movement's happening for the sober curious, and I am very much in support of a healthy lifestyle. My particular message is that it's a choice to drink, I'm not on a crusade against alcohol, but I am on a crusade against how the media and how we are portraying it to be that be all end all and the go-to to celebrate. And, or if we're not feeling good, that's where it needs to stop. I'm tired of the association that's with that. And that's my own personal kind of, fight that I have that I want to see change. But what I am noticing is that movement is gaining speed rapidly, and people are starting to recognize that without alcohol in their life, their performance is so much better, their relationships get better, their health improves. I mean, you know, we know all the benefits of not drinking, but it's just immense, and it's starting to become the new trend, which is a wonderful thing.
Yes, it's great. And I think even as a young person, you have to be brave not to drink because it's so prevalent, you know, in your age group. And you just have to say, I'm not doing it. I'm going to find other things to do other than partying. And so the Sober Curious movement, is that an actual movement? That's something you can share with our audience?
Yeah. So the Sober Curious movement is also just another term that was used. It first came out with a book, Ruby Warrington, about, it was called Being Sober Curious. And that really is such a great term because it's for people who don't necessarily want to claim the title of sobriety or recovery. As a matter of fact, those two words in itself, sobriety and recovery, isn't something that I use on a regular basis when I talk about me. I don't look at myself as being in recovery or even that I'm sober, although I am over 5 years, I say that I'm alcohol free. So it's just another term, another way of looking at it. But I like the word sober curious because it's a way for people to dip their toe into what that might look like without them feeling like they're committing to something. And here's the key, Robin, this is where I do so well with my messaging and why I attract the clients that I do, is because it is a softer approach that you don't have to claim that you are an alcoholic. You don't have to claim any label. Like, who cares about that? This is about uplift. This is about empowering. The reason why my business is called Gray Tonic is because tonic means to invigorate, to have a sense of well-being, to uplift, to be the strengthener, to be the boost, the pick me up, and all those terms, right? So it's really about that. It's about empowering others to be, have, and do what they really want, and to close that gap on the things that they're not happy with, to help them. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we all want. We want to feel fulfilled. We want to be happy, whatever that definition is for each individual. We want those things. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to have those connected relationships. That's what we're all striving for.
So just to tie the loop on that one. So Sober Curious movement is a movement about what can life look like and how wonderful can life be when you are sober. And so it takes the onus off of labels, really. What does life look like when you're sober? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's about what does that life look like if I don't have alcohol? And really the bigger question too, for a lot of people, especially in the beginning, is what will my social life look like? I mean, that's the number one thing that they're worried about, is how am I going to tell people? They're going to think something's wrong with me. You know, a lot of the fear that a lot of people have is what others are going to think. Here's the newsflash. Nobody cares. The people that really, they really don't care. You know, I remember going to my very first Christmas party. It was 2016. I quit in August that year. And I just started a new job, October of that year, 5 years ago this month. And we had our Christmas party. So I walked into this party going, like, I mean, you might as well had a sign on my head that said, you know, a problematic drinker, not drinking, something's wrong with me. I mean, that's literally how I felt. And I remember telling the servers, like, don't let anybody buy me a drink. Don't let anybody buy me a drink. I don't drink. I can't drink. Oh my gosh. Like, I was so paranoid. And at that time I was attending AA, which is a great program. It wasn't a great fit for me because I didn't identify as alcoholic. And I believe strongly that I was a gray area drinker and former gray area drinking. So it wasn't a great fit for me, but I was so paranoid going into this party. And I realized, nobody cares. nobody cares that I'm having a club soda with cranberry. They're not even asking me what I'm drinking.
And nobody knows. I mean, how would they know what's in your glass, right? Yeah. Unless they're like, here, give me your glass. I want to smell that.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So question for you is, can you talk about how does one recognize that they have a problem when society may declare that they don't? And I had written this on my notes as a little bubble next to a term that you use called think through the drink. Is that what that is? Is that when you are going to recognize that you yourself may have a problem, even if society and the media declare that you don't?
Yes. Well, first of all, this is your own intuition, whether or not if you think you're drinking too much. And to think through the drink, so it is a term. I actually have a mini course called Think Through the Drink. It's a great entry level for someone to say, what does this world look like? You know, how can I dip my toe in without commitment? It's an online mini course. So it's, you know, super inexpensive and it's a great place for people to start. But really to think all the way through that drink, it's like future forecasting. It's like knowing the right questions to be asking yourself before you actually drink. So that process works in such a great way because it gives the opportunity for someone to, you know, ask the right questions. I mean, there's right questions to ask and to see it all the way through. Like if I did decide to drink and I do have a few drinks, what could that look like for me on the other end of that? And would it be worth it? So it's a series of questions, but I just love the term because I think it's a good way for someone to self-identify and it being a softer approach.
And it also gives them an opportunity to pause.
Yes. Stop, pause, and reflect before you act. For sure.
And I think that's a great thing to do. So I love the term, think through the drink. Like, do I want this? Do I, you know, can I be happy here in this environment without this? Can I find other ways to de-stress? Maybe I, you know, that's what I love, you know, for me, hungry for answers. But in my own life, I always ask my question as someone in recovery from food disorders, what am I really hungry for? When I go to say, oh, let's go get dessert. And I'm like, am I really hungry for dessert or am I hungry for intimacy? Or am I hungry for connection to a friend that I haven't spoken to in a while? So I think it's the same type of thing. Think through your drink is really very similar to me saying, what am I hungry for? Or for, you know, for someone who has an eating disorder. All right. So we're going to go to a break and we're going to come back and talk about Carrie's SABER method, SABER. So stay tuned, come back. And you're listening to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path toward the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ornedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOrnedo.com.
And you're back with me, Robin Clare, on Hungry for Answers. I'm here with my guest, Carrie Schwer. And to reach Carrie, can you just remind everybody how they can connect with you?
Yeah, the best way is through my website, greattonic.com, or Instagram, it's great_tonic, or LinkedIn is probably the best way. And also Question the Drink is a Facebook group that I have for those that are questioning their relationship with alcohol. It's called Question the Drink.
That's great. That's great. And to connect with me, you go to clarity.com, that's clarity-ity.com, or Instagram, Clarity by Robin. All right. So we're in the last part, and we're going to talk about Carrie's a healing method that she has called SABER, S-A-B-E-R. So Carrie, what is the SABER method, and what do each of the letters stand for?
Yeah, I want to tell the brief story. I'll make it super short.
Yes.
The SABER method came to be out of my own experience. So I was a year and a half alcohol free. I walked into the grocery store after a hellish day at work, and all the triggers were there. I was upset with my boss. I had a hard day. I had to rush home. I had to stop at the grocery store. I just wanted to go home and eat. I didn't want to have to stop and pick up anything for dinner, but I needed to. And I'm walking back to the seafood department, and there was this massive display of my favorite white wine that I used to drink right in front of me. Well, what do you think happened? I'm standing at this display saying, oh my gosh, I would do anything to have this bottle of wine because my day was horrible. And my mouth was literally salivating at the thought of having this bottle of wine and taking it home. And as I'm standing there staring at this display, Robin, and all these thoughts are going through my head, it was almost like the angel and the devil were just wrestling with each other. I mean, they weren't arguing. They were like downright wrestling. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Oh my God, blah, 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 blah. All the things. I had so much chatter going on in my head that I could not stand it. And I literally said, stop, out loud in the grocery store. And then I looked around. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope people don't think like I'm a strange person or something. And I was like, okay, well, that worked. Like, what just happened? I just said, stop. And all of a sudden everything stopped in my head. And it gave me a moment to pause. So the S in SABER is to say the word stop out loud. Anytime you have two incongruent thoughts, or anytime that you have this inner mind chatter, or that you're struggling with something, or when you're feeling really bad or down about something, the SABER can work. What I'm about to explain can work with any situation when you are what I call, and Robin, I know you use this term too, in a suffering state or a protective state where your emotions are moving into a downward spiral, whether you're in, you know, fear or flight or freeze mode, or you're angry or you're disgusted or all the negative terms. In other words, you're not in a good place. So you can use the SABER for any time like that. So I said the word stop out loud. And like I said, I noticed that those thoughts stopped. Mm-hmm. It gave me a moment to just step back and look at my thinking, which is the A in SABER. I acknowledged what it was that I was thinking about. Do I really want to have this bottle of wine? Or is this just a story that I'm telling myself? Oh, I see what's happening. This is the old familiar pattern of mine that when I had a crappy day at work and I'm rushing home, and by the way, I think I mentioned I was already hungry, I was tired, I was frustrated from work, all the recipes was there as the perfect storm for me to want this bottle of wine. So when I shined a light on my thinking by acknowledging what it was I was thinking, I didn't really want this wine. Cause then I'm like, Carrie, you're a year and a half alcohol free at this point. Like, you really don't want this. And then I had no judgment about myself at that point. I was just acknowledging it and seeing my thinking for what it is. Mm-hmm. Once we shine a light on our thinking, we can see, and I saw that that was just a story that I was creating. I saw it was an old pattern. And then without even knowing it, I started taking a couple deep breaths in and out. And I just stood there for a minute. It wasn't very long. It might've been like 15 seconds. And when I teach the SABER to other clients and to students, so I really tell them to stay with the breath as long as they need. There are times, Robin, that I got to stay with the breath for like 5 minutes. the goal here and the key to doing this is when we bring breath and oxygen into our body, it calms the nervous system. It moves us from this fight or flight response into a calmer state. And it does this just by simply breathing. So the breath is so important in the saber. We want to make sure before we even move on that we are in a calmer state, which is what I did in the grocery store.
Yeah, love it.
The next step, those first three steps are pretty much the easiest to do for most people. This is where it starts to get a little more difficult, and only because it's a self-reflection time. The E is embrace. What do I mean by that? You want to embrace the situation. Now, going back to my story at the grocery store, I realized, Carrie, that was an old pattern. You know, it hasn't been that long. You've been working on yourself and your brain, and you've been rewiring the way that you're thinking. And this was an old pattern that came out of nowhere because of all these triggers. Girl, you're all right. You're okay. I gave myself a break. I gave myself some grace in that moment. It's really about embracing the situation and seeing it for what it is. This is really difficult for some people. Yes. Another way to look at this is to think about the serenity prayer, like things that you can or cannot change. Yes. Another way could be to take a moment to pray or to, you know, ask for some sort of guidance.
I'm also seeing when you said embrace, for folks that are listening on the podcast, I'm embracing myself. Like, it's okay. Okay. You know, these moments will happen. Give yourself a hug.
Yes.
Right? Embrace exactly. yourself.
And like I said, it's the easiest one for people to want to skip over, but it is important because we are only human. And once we see our thinking for what it is, and we know that's not really what we wanted, you know, we have so many thoughts that come into our head every day, and we're not really responsible for all of them. It's whether or not we're going to act upon them. And that's right. The key is whether you're going to act or not. And so when I said earlier about stop, pause, and reflect before you act, that is part of, you know, the whole saber kind of wrapped up in one, is because we want to embrace this moment of like, am I going to move forward with doing something or am I not?
Right, right.
So the R in saber is to redirect. We can also say reframe. We can think about what it is that we truly want. What is it is going to benefit us? So one of the ways that we can redirect in an easier way is to move into gratitude. Because yes. when we move into gratitude, we can't be in a negative state anymore. We can't be in the suffering state. When we have gratitude and we find the beauty in the situation, which is changing your perspective and looking at it for what it is, or like I like to say a lot too, the problem isn't always the problem. The problem is the meaning we're attaching to it. It's the perception in which we're viewing it. It's the lens in which we're viewing the situation at hand. So by redirecting, we're making a new decision at that point, which is kind of part B of redirect, moving into gratitude and then making a new decision. How do we do that? That can be hard sometimes too. So again, going back to my example, I redirected by saying, no, I no longer drink. This isn't really what I want. I see it's an old pattern. I breathe. I embrace the situation, understanding and giving myself grace. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I'm going to just go get my salmon for dinner. And I'm going to go home and have club soda and cranberry, which is my go-to drink. And I'm going to enjoy my evening. And I made that powerful decision for myself and I followed through with it. Mm-hmm. And ironically, it was like 2 days later, I was thinking about how those steps came to be.
Right.
And I really felt like God downloaded it to me. And yeah. I started writing it out and I realized it's spelled saber. And I'm like, this is awesome. So the saber method has been a gift.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. Also thinking about God downloaded programs. I was walking in the reservoir 2 years ago and I hear the words, the right recovery, WRITE. And it took a couple of years, but I have finally created a workbook called The Right Recovery, using writing as a tool for recovery. Discovery. And I'm going to be teaching this course. It's a 7-week course at CCAR, the Connecticut Center for Addiction Recovery. It's an online course. So I'm doing the pilot program. It's discounted. And I need a group of people who are interested in looking at writing as a form of recovery and are willing to also give good feedback to me on the workbook and the course itself. So if you're interested in being part of the pilot, please message me at my website, www.clarity.com, clarity.com, so we can talk about you being in the pilot program for the right recovery. And so, Carrie, thank you so much for being with us today, talking about gray area drinking and the SABR method. I hope people wrote those down because they're so important in taking a pause. You know, we have these emotions, they come up, we're tired, and we're going to turn to old habits unless we stop, acknowledge, breathe, embrace, and redirect. So the SABR method. And to everyone listening, please know that you're never alone. If you're struggling with addiction, there are always wonderful groups that you can talk to. There's therapy, there's life coaching. There's also the idea of going inside and listening to your own intuition, as Carrie talks so much about today. Find that inner divinity inside of you through meditation, through walking in nature, and know that your soul is ready to help you and that your guidance within the non-physical realm is just as ready to help you as the guidance that you can also get in the physical world. And so we've had a wonderful program here. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Hungry for Answers. Thank you for tuning into Hungry for Answers. Learning to love ourselves is the one true solution to addiction. Make a commitment to healing today and see how you can reach your ultimate potential. Remember, you have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. To learn more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's Claire, clarity.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.